From the streets of Toronto to the backwoods of Bancroft, here's your Moose Country Minute with Mark Bonikoski.
Well, that's that. Not that there was ever a hope in hell. It was pretty well decided from almost day one that the Ottawa Senators were going to stink the joint out this season, and they didn't let me down. Last Saturday, their last game of the season, and at home no less, ended with a 6-2 thrashing by the Columbus Blue Jackets on, get this, Fan Appreciation Night. As the front page of my new hometown Ottawa Sun put it, the Senators sputtered to a fitting end. Now, I know this radio show is supposed to be about the great outdoors, but allow me a few seconds to commiserate about my hapless Senators. They returned to the NHL when I was the editor of the Ottawa Sun, so I joined their rah-rah crowd and even got Senator license plates for my Jeep. It was fun when they were supposed to be useless until years later they made it to the Stanley Cup Finals and the joke was supposed to be over, but the joke continued. In those early years, they played in the rinky-dink Civic Center to small but sold-out crowds. Atlantis, as in Alanis Morissette back then, sang the national anthems. And then the Bigs took over, a big brand-new arena, a full town away. Then came the big salaries and the tickets that quickly became unaffordable to most blue-collar folk, just like the big-time players became unaffordable to a small-market club. And the rest, as they say, is history. Toronto finally has a Maple Leaf team that may live up to the nation's expectations. Good for Toronto, I say. Torontonians have suffered for far too long. Their time may have just arrived. For Outdoor Journal Radio, I'm Mark Bonikoski.
Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal, as it is referred to. Outdoor Journal. Anyways, welcome back to the program. I'm Angelo Viola. He is Stephen Labadie, Derek Brandeo, and Jessica Ellis at your beck and call this wonderful weekend. Before we get on to my first guest, I just want to remind folks that are just tuning in, and also because I forgot to mention the word free. Don't forget about the free Mercury outboard motor giveaway that's happening on the fishingcanada.com site. That's fishingcanada.com. We are giving away 9.9s over 9 months, and we call it Lotto 999. Even though it is illegal to call it Lotto 999, we call it Lotto 999.
I have nothing to do with that.
No. we have a disclaimer on the program.
That's true, yeah.
So even if the cops tune in and hear that, we have a disclaimer.
Disclaimer, yeah.
Anyways, if you want to participate in Lotto 999, go to fishingcanada.com. It is a free giveaway. You will win a 9.9 Mercury outboard motor, four-stroke, all the new technology. The first draw is on Monday, this coming Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yes.
And some lucky listener who has been intelligent enough to go put a ballot in the box, free of charge, by the way.
Yep.
By the way, I want to thank the thousands upon thousands that are doing so. It's been a tremendous success so far and just growing. And anyways, go in there and you can put a ballot in every 24 hours. So that would mean, do the math, Stephen, between now and the draw would be...
I'll help.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
One today, one tomorrow, and one Monday. That's three. Yeah, give yourself a big hand there. And you could be the very first winner of the 9.9, but do not despair, my friends. It is not the end if you don't win on Monday, because we immediately start leg number two of the draw of the contest. And all of the ballots that you have so earned over the past month are all going to be moved into the second draw, which means you're going to get a head start on all the newbies.
Yep.
In the contest. And then we will make another draw on the 15th of the next month, and so on and so on, until we have totally divested ourselves of 9.9 Mercury outboard four-stroke motors. All you have to do is go to fishingcanada.com and make it all happen for you. Time to do a little hunting, my friends, and anything else you want to do in the outdoors. His name is Keith Beasley. He is the star, along with his two brothers, of Canada's most watched and most popular hunting program. It is called Canada in the Rough, And joining us now, Keith Beasley. Good morning, Keith.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How you doing, man?
I feel like I'm potentially a bit of a criminal. You got me on here talking about illegal names of contests and stuff.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Lotto 999 or something.
That's right.
Incriminating myself?
Yeah, you might just might be, buddy. Sorry about that.
I'm all anxious and sweaty here, getting ready to talk to you.
Yeah, exactly. How you doing, man?
I'm really good. Really good. The sun is shining, and we've been finding some shed antlers from the winter where the deer have been dropping them, and we're scouting for turkeys. And I know we like to talk hunting, but my turkey hunting buddies are down in the U.S. right now in South Carolina, the Johnson brothers, and having an unreal another weekend for fishing and representing Canada, and both cracked the top 35 and went into the day 9th and 19th into the day, so I'm pretty pumped.
How often do you talk to them, Keith?
I don't want to, like, this is one of those ones, I mean, it's not a name drop, they really are my good buddies, we grew up right beside each other, but, yeah, like, they'll, depending on their day and how busy they are, they'll text back and forth, so, yeah, like, after they got off the stage last night, I got to hear a little bit about their day,
So they're your good buddies, and I know they are, and I know you guys spend a lot of time together, you grew up together, and you still spend time in the outdoors together. What have you been able to garner from their incredible skill of catching bass? Can you say one thing, without speaking out of school, can you say to us, yes, here's what I have learned, having been so fortunate to know the Gardner brothers?
That's funny you say the Gardner, because that's Lynn's old partner, Bob Gardner. They're legends in their own right, but the Johnson boys, that's funny you say yes. That, though, but Gardner, but honestly, and every time in a boat with them or talking to them, I still have my jaw kind of on the floor, even after all these years, because I still don't fully get it. And I like to fish, and I'm an avid guy, but I can stand right beside them side by side, and I've been on trout streams with them, smallie waters and musky water, and it still amazes me just the little things they do, and I can't figure out what they're doing so different.
Isn't that bizarre? It's bizarre.
But it's just, I mean, people play with Sidney Crosby every day too and wonder what he does so different to be so much better. But
that's a good point. You know, guys like that, Crosby, to some extent Marner, and all these really, you know, the superstars, McDavid, we see them. I mean, other hockey players watch them closely every day, and they
elusive, right?
He still can't figure it out.
What's funny is, like, we shot our first turkey with Corey. Like, there were three of us in a field doing, like, so they eat and breathe this stuff, and that's the part that all of us can relate to. The part we can't relate to is, I think, the hockey reference. We all play it, but how do those guys go to that next level? But they just see it and pick it apart, and it's fun to watch. So anyway, I know you're.
Bottom line is they do and we don't, so there you go.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool. So pretty proud of them. Pretty neat to sit back and watch them down there on a big stage and showing everybody that Canadian anglers are fantastic. So
when do we start shooting Canada's most watched hunting show?
April 25th is the opening of turkey season, so we are very much looking forward to that. As everyone probably listening knows, spring is late. If we get a spring, it might go from winter to summer around these parts, but the turkeys spend their winter months flocked up, deer yard turkeys flock, and you might get 80 to 150 birds on a couple of farms over the winter where they live, and then it's not till this thaw happens, and right now when the fields get clear that these hens start busting back out about 5 kilometers from that winter area to all their old nesting grounds, and then the boys start to head with them. So really, truthfully, we don't even know what we're doing April 25th because the scouting's just starting to happen now because they're just starting to head home and fill areas they haven't been in since November, December. So,
And the difficulty there, being in a similar industry as yours, you make all these plans and put dates in the calendar, and then Mother Nature could change the whole picture for you, and you got to scramble big time.
You're right on. So we have scheduled week of filming April 25th to the first week of May, and our best farms last year that we banked on hunting didn't get birds that week. So that may be the same case this year. So we're looking for as many places we can find birds to be ready for whatever comes that day. But at the end of the day, we might not even have permission on the land that the birds we want to hunt are even on.
So that's the other nature of it.
But I don't think anybody feels bad for you and I when we tell these stories. So.
Interesting post you've got on the Canada in the Rough Facebook account about hunting wild turkeys. Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you can relate to this. We sometimes take things for granted. It's not because we're trying to be prideful or pompous about it, but we do it so much. We take for granted maybe when the smallie pre-spawn is or spawn, but and for us it's in the woods. We take for granted sometimes what these turkeys do every day because we study them so much. Mm-hmm. And we thought we'd put out five great facts about wild turkey on Facebook because we got the footage to back it. So things like nesting, when hens nest, because that dictates why the Ontario turkey season is the way it is, why it's about 5 weeks, because those hens spend 3 to 4 weeks laying one nest and one clutch of eggs, and every night not sitting on it, returning to the tree, and every day a male trying to get near her to help her fertilize an egg per day until she has basically 15 to 18 eggs. That's one fact, but why that's so relevant to hunters is that one hen waiting to have one clutch of babies is making the hunting season very exciting because toms are competing daily for a good 5-6 week period to breed those hens. So those are just little things that we just find very intriguing, and we just try to put out there to educate and help, because at the end of the day, we love to hunt, but we also love to share stories about wildlife. So,
and you do a great job, and what's interesting about that, and you know, folks who maybe don't hunt or don't fish but take the time to listen to this program might be scratching their heads when they hear you saying stuff like that and the things that we talk about here on the program every week about fishing. You know, in a lot of cases, hunting and fishing is an excuse for us to get outdoors and immerse ourselves in this wonderful thing called nature, because I think every hunter and every angler, their first real interest is in nature. And we just happen to fish and hunt as well. But just learning and being a part of it and understanding it is absolutely remarkable.
You're right on. And no one's ever said they had a crappy trip to somebody's cabin or someone's cottage or a day on the water in a canoe or a kayak. You don't even need to be hunting and fishing. Just you get people outside, people enjoy themselves. So,
Keith, just before I let you go, I need to sort of lay the table, if you will. You know, most hunters, and as most anglers that watch our programs, you know, look at the stuff and say, "Wow, you know, that's fantastic. Those guys are so lucky," which we are, by the way. I don't want to put a pooper on that one. We are definitely, for being in the business we are, but we sometimes make it look too easy. And then what happens is people go and try it for the first time, and they say, wait a minute. I saw the Beasleys do this last week, and they got up in the morning, put their shoes on, went out, and shot a buck. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we forget that, right? We need to, you know, sort of pull the reins on this thing and say we spend a lot of time doing it. How much time do you spend on an episode, shooting an episode?
Yeah, so we get 15 to 20 hours of footage for a 19-minute show, just wow. To put that into perspective. But on average, we figure it's about 1% of the time we're in the moment of potentially harvesting.
Wow.
So that's for a turkey, that's for deer, that's for moose. The rest of the time is scouting, sitting, watching, waiting. And you're right, we are making these series, and we only make 13 to 15 originals a year because that's how much time, like, you're the same as us. We got 150 right. to 200 man days a year in the field with producers, cameras, field hosts. So we're not, you know, and we do fail. Like, you've had bad days in the water. I've had bad days in the woods. But I can't show 7 days of seeing nothing because it doesn't do anybody any good. But it is reality, and it does happen. So, you know, you're right. And sometimes it's a bit unfair because they tune in and we try to show them the best of the best and the best of our country of what we're fishing or hunting. But no, and at the end of the day, that's part of the game and that's part of the love for us. Is truthfully, we're unsuccessful more than we're successful. And to relate that to life, my son lost in the second round of the playoffs this year, and he really thought he had an all-Ontario hockey team, and I thought he might have too. But when he lost, he was crying that night, and I said, "Bud, I played 15, 16 years of competitive hockey, and I never won it once." So I had every year of that moment. So, and hunting and fishing, similar.
Like, same.
How many days you got out and you don't get what you want, but you sure had fun trying.
You know, some of the best, most fond memories I have of my fishing career were days where it was tough, were days where we might not have succeeded, achieved the goal that we had set out to achieve, because there was so much learning involved. And I think hunting is the same way, whether it's turkey or deer or moose. you have to learn with your failures. And I think if you don't have failures, you're never learning.
Well, and I totally agree with you, and not to, memories will be, but, you know, sometimes my biggest animals or my most successful hunts weren't based on how much that buck or moose would, how big his rack was, because maybe I didn't work the same way or put in as much time, but those really rewarding ones for me are those ones where I look back that, yeah, I put in a ton of time. I really learned a trick, put in that time to that trick, and then success. It may not have been the biggest buck, but sure makes it, and that's what's so unique. Every situation's so different and puts it all in perspective. So,
do you prefer turkey hunts where you have to call them to you and you're hunkered down, whether it's duck hunting or turkey hunting? Or do you prefer that challenge of the physical challenge as well as the mental challenge, but more physical challenge of trekking down that big game for days on end to get an opportunity at it?
Yeah, it's a great question. And for me, I mean, there's nothing in my life I think I'll ever compare to those epic Rocky Mountain trips where you're sleeping in little tents, you're spending 10 to 12 days out on the terrain, and you put on 100 miles in your boots, because they're just life experiences. You're just seeing the greatest country in the world. So it's so far beyond a hunt. It's really just truly just being a human and out there. So those are hard to compare. But I find it just as rewarding after 5-7 days in a tree from 10 to 12 hours a day in the minus temperatures to finally get a shot and get a whitetail, or a turkey hunt. I absolutely love just as much because it's interactive. You're not sitting and waiting the same way. You're hearing them respond. You're working with them. You're trying to think of tricks, using decoys, and trying to make that tom think you're a hen. And that's so. I mean, it's the difference of aggressively largemouth fishing when you're flipping big heavy cover or mats, or compared to float fishing for steelhead on the river. Like, it's two totally different techniques, but both have so much reward and so many different elements to them.
Whatever you enjoy, whichever you prefer, you want to catch each and every episode of Canada in the Rough available Sundays, I believe. Tell folks where they can get home.
Yeah, Sunday mornings, 8:30 across Canada, and we'd love for them to tune in. Our social media pages, Facebook, Instagram, and I hope you don't mind me throwing this out there. Global, which airs you, and City TV, which airs us. If you have a minute, folks, send them an email and let them know you appreciate them airing our hunting heritage, because at any given day, you know, there's a lot of people out there, a lot of anti-hunters right now. They're fighting in BC to end certain species of hunts, which they've been successful in already, and it's just one step. A lot of people don't believe hunting and fishing should exist, period. And we could lose it. So, I mean, if you have a moment, just email those networks and just say, hey, thank you for airing hunting and fishing. We appreciate it. I think that stuff goes a long way, because people are doing it on the other end.
Great message, my friend. And you can also send it to Canada in the Rough. That's CanadaInTheRough.com. Keith, thanks for joining us, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
You too. Keith Beasley, host of Canada in the Rough. That's CanadaInTheRough.com. More journal after this. Don't you dare go away.